All right. Can you guys hear me? All right. So let's get started. Please, we have only a couple of minutes because we are going to co-present here with Kevin on contribution processes for MariaDB and for Postgres. So I'm going to try to be really quick and then give the floor to Kevin here. So, okay, so let's get going. I want to walk you through the MariaDB server contribution process here, and I want to show you a live example. First of all, why? Basically, contributing to database code bases is hard stuff. I remember my first contribution to the code base of the MariaDB server took 3 months to review. So it's not trivial. And that's why I want to show you some support, and I want to show you how it's done, basically, so that it's not as intimidating as it might be. Right. So first of all, let's get the facts. It's a proper, the MariaDB server code base is a proper GitHub repository. It has some extensions. It has a contributors license agreement bot, which checks your pull request. And then there is a build bot, which also tests for regressions, whatever you submit. And you also need a Jira for larger submissions. This is basically to describe what you are trying to do. In a better way than just a commit message, because well, more as I said, it's complex stuff, so it needs better explanation sometimes. So how to pick a task to work on? Basically, the best advice that I can give you is pick something that is important to you. When people work on scratching their own itches, so to say, they are most productive and they feel most accomplished when they achieve something. If you are wondering what to do, there is a list of beginner-friendly tasks in our contributing document. So take a look at those. They can get you started. Interesting things there. Another way of finding contributions is to basically engage online with other community members or check Jira for open issues that are appealing. And then last but not least, the MariaDB project participates in the Google Summer of Code program, so that's a huge incentive for people working on open source contributions. So, right. This is the contribution process in a nutshell. So basically, you clone the the MariaDB server repository, you work on your feature, and then you submit a pull request from your branch, and then you make sure that the build passes okay, all the regression tests are good. Then you get a review. So basically, you get a preliminary review by yours truly here. I try to do that as fast as possible when the PR appears, and then we get a final review by an actual developer owning the code base. And then make sure to have the final reviewer also push your change, because sometimes they just approve it and they don't merge the PR, which is a problem, right? For the case study that I promised, probably it's not very visible, but it is 10 lines of actual code. Not a huge contribution, really, but it is something tangible. It was, as I said, based on a Jira, which describes what was the problem and what was the fix for it. Then it also got great test coverage. The regression tests were fine and everything. And then the CLA was signed. It got the proper treatment on our end, properly tagged. There was an active conversation. I don't know if you see that, but there is 32 messages going back and forth for these 10 lines of code. So I'm really impressed by the engagement that the MariaDB developers showed in that particular case. There were also several iterations, several versions of this thing were pushed and presented by the contributor. And finally, it got merged by a very senior developer in the MariaDB community, apparently. So it's not hard. You just need to follow the steps, and you get your name into the contributors list, basically. So takeaways are, feel free to ask me and communicate early, communicate often, and be responsive to requests from reviewers, and be nice and don't panic. So those are my contact data. If you want to talk to me, please do. And with that, I guess I'll give the floor to Kevin.
Am I audible? Thank you. Okay, cool, yeah. So thanks, Georgie, for the overview for the MariaDB code base. So now I'm going to give a similar insight, but into the Postgres code, like the contribution process. I'm going to give it from the perspective of someone who has done it like just a few months ago for the first time. So I am relatively early in my career, and I just want to talk about the Postgres contribution process, what my personal experience was, and some takeaways for how it works overall, and maybe you guys can also do it in the future. My name is Kevin. So to begin with, I can talk about how my interest in Postgres began, because it was not like a typical way. So my first job out of college in 2023 was at a company called PeerDB. PeerDB is an open source ETL tool, CDC tool, that moves data from Postgres to multiple destinations, including ClickHouse. PeerDB uses logical replication, which is the Postgres feature to read changes as they happen on Postgres. And I think Rohit and the PlanetScale folks talked about logical replication detail earlier. It is a pretty complex and a pretty intricate feature, and it's mostly undocumented, so you end up needing to read Postgres code a lot to make the tool like stable and work for all cases. PeerDB was acquired by ClickHouse, which is why I ended up here. And I continue doing the same work as part of ClickPipe. So now I focus on moving data from Postgres into ClickHouse as reliably as possible. So let's talk about the Postgres code base. So Postgres is a 30-plus-year-old C code base. And because it's C and C is fairly feature light, you need to build a lot on top of it to have a sort of a clean and structured code base. So Postgres has its own custom memory subsystem, has a lot of dynamic dispatch, has a lot of macro use just to make the code base make sense. Reading Postgres code is not trivial. It can be very overwhelming. There's a ton of files. Each file has 4,000, 5,000 lines of code. So what I did was to isolate an area that I wanted to focus on. For me, it was logical replication. And focus on those files, those functions, ignore everything else, and figure out the area that I wanted to focus on. One great thing about Postgres is Postgres has great commit messages. So every line of code in Postgres has a good commit message where you can see why the change was made. And it links back to the mailing list, so the mailing list I'll get into later. But you can read the commit message, and then you can read the links in the commit message to even get even more context out of it. So that's how the Postgres code base can be very readable just by the Git history. Until now, for the past couple of years, my sort of relationship with the Postgres code base is more of a passive one. I was the guy who just read the code, figured out customer issues, helped things out at the mailing list, but I wasn't really focused on contributing to Postgres myself. And the reason that changed was kind of random. So what happened was I was reading through Postgres docs, and I found a setting called Scram Iterations. This setting, all it does is it just controls the number of times the password for a user is hashed when creating or authenticating. It had a maximum value that's a really high maximum value. So the sort of intrusive thought that entered my head was, what happens when you set this to the maximum value? I tried this on a virtual machine, and it stayed running for a month. Like, I left it running, and then I realized it's just running forever. So I realized that maybe there's a bug. So this is the code that Postgres had to actually do this hashing thing. And maybe a few of you can spot the issue immediately here, where that was causing like an infinite loop. The problem was that basically, if you set it to the maximum value of I and then you increment I, it becomes a negative value because of integer overflow. So because of that, the less than or equal to sign in the for loop, it will hit the maximum value, it will still compare true, then it will increment it to a negative value, and then the loop would never exit. So the fix for this was actually fairly simple. You just change the loop to not do that. So this was, you know, the story of how I accidentally found a bug in Postgres. And the fix was like relatively simple. It is a bug that almost nobody would hit, but you know, it was something that I had found. But again, that was half the battle. Like, I made the fix, but I actually contribute the fix upstream. And this is where the Postgres, you know, developer experience comes into picture. So unlike MariaDB, it is not a standard GitHub repository. Postgres has its own Git repository that is hosted by Postgres itself, and you know, it's. The UI is quite different from GitHub. And the way, there are no PRs, so there's no issue tracker, there's no PRs, there's pretty much nothing for Postgres. The way you actually commit code is you create a branch locally, you make your change locally, and then you use the git format patch command to make a patch, and that patch is what you attach as an email. So you actually send an email to the mailing list in Postgres. And that email contains, you know, your entire patch. Even if it's like 1,000 lines of code, it'll be in a single file as an attachment to the email you send to the mailing list, which is basically like an email address that contains like hundreds of people that are in the Postgres community. So yeah, like the commands I run in this translates into the patch file that, you know, talks about what files my patch changed and, you know, what the changes are. And this is what I submit as part of my email to fix a change. So Postgres has something called commit fest as well. So this is the Postgres equivalent of like a code sprint or a review cycle where a bunch of people submit their changes to commit fest. You know, they have reviewers, they have a version of CI. You know, people reject PRs, they approve it, it gets merged. Sometimes it gets pushed to the next commit fest. So I think each Postgres release has like 5 or 6 commit fests, and they happen every couple of months. And this is where most of the Postgres review happens, because Postgres doesn't have a single company behind it. It's all a bunch of people working on like their spare time to review code changes. So it's kind of decentralized, and that's where this commit fest process helps a lot. So for me, again, like the fix that I had made, the fix itself again, was like a few minutes of work. But it took me a lot more time to figure out, you know, how to draft that very first email and how to actually attach a patch to Postgres. So, you know, that was a mail I sent to Postgres after like some thinking. And after some like comments and, you know, them deciding whether it needs tests or not, in the end, the change was merged. It was not merged by me, so I have no commit access to the Postgres repo. Someone merged it on my behalf, and I was attributed as author. So this is kind of how the Postgres you know, contribution process works. Yeah. So again, this was like a first bug I had found. And around the same time I had made this first commit, there was a much bigger issue that some customers of PADB were facing, where they were running into an issue where the replication slot creation. So replication slot is basically the Postgres, the thing that PADB connects to the Postgres to read the changes from Postgres. The command to create the slot would hang, and it would hang in a way where you couldn't stop it. Like, even if you try to control C or send a terminate command to this query, it would just get stuck perpetually. You couldn't really stop it. And what some customers had to do was to entirely restart their database, which if it's Postgres and you're asking a customer to restart their Postgres, it's not really a good look. So our initial sort of thought, because we couldn't figure out what the issue was it an issue with their managed service? Was it an issue with RDS or GCP or so on and so forth? And what was a smoking gun for me was, you know, a customer actually sent me the strace output, showing the syscalls from the instance that was having the issue, and that, you know, helped me track it down. So this is a pretty intricate issue, which I did write a blog post on if you're more interested in details. But what was actually the issue was, when creating a replication slot, there is a step that requires waiting for all the transactions to complete. This code doesn't function properly on read replica. So on the primary Postgres instance, it works just fine. But on the read replica or hot standby, a bit of this code doesn't function properly. So it doesn't wait on a transaction, but it still thinks a transaction is running. So it just continues the loop indefinitely because it's not waiting. It's just checking, and then the check keeps failing. The problem with this loop is this loop actually never checks for interrupts. Like, even if you signal this backend to terminate or cancel or whatever, because in read replicas, this code doesn't function the expected way, it would never receive the signal. And so until this loop exits due to a transaction completing, the process would become unkillable. So this solution was not like simple, like isolated fix. So I submitted a patch for this, the immediate fix, which is to just let a customer stop the query, not let it run forever. Which was to just allow this slot creation process to be interrupted by signals, even on read replicas, irrespective of what was happening. This was committed to the Postgres code base, so it is in now most Postgres minor versions. There was a follow-up patch by a different member of the community, so not me, to highlight this wait event, so to highlight the fact that we are stuck in this state. And this patch, unfortunately, has not been merged yet. So even though it's like a pretty small change to just highlight the thing, it was not merged right now. A long-term fix is to just not need this loop at all and to have read replicas, just wait for transactions in a more efficient manner. This unfortunately needs a lot more thought, a lot more expertise from the folks who know Postgres. So it needs to be figured out and then committed. It's definitely not something that I can do right now. So the conclusion for me, this time last year, I had no idea how to contribute to Postgres, and I figured it out over time. But the weird part for me was the hardest part of all this was not necessarily the code itself. It was just convincing myself that I had something worth saying. I had not, it is not something I was hallucinating. It was actually something that I found that was a bug, and sending that very first email to the mailing list saying I found this issue. This is true of open source in general. Even if you find an issue, it may actually not be an issue. Or even if it is, sometimes your contributions may get rejected or ignored. But despite all that, regardless of that, if you have something new to contribute to any open source project, whether it's Postgres or MariaDB or ClickHaus or whatever, even if it's a bug report or docs update, just send it. And I feel that open source projects need more eyes on them and not fewer. Thank you.